Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. Welcome back to the FRL headquarters. It is time for Talking Tuesday. Yes, it is 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So as advertised, a little bit, in just a moment or two, we're going to have our new friend who's going to be coming to the FRL headquarters for the first time. The man of faith himself and multiple time winner of multiple bodybuilding competitions, fitness instructor, fitness author, and multiple other things, all natural, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to be joined by the incredible Philip Ricardo Jr. So this is going to be very exciting. This will be our first visit to the FRL headquarters. So we're going to have to make sure he's nice and welcome, which I don't think most people have a problem with here. So it should be fun. So we're just waiting momentarily for him to come on. So this is going to be a little fun. So he is going to be coming on for about an hour or so. So we're going to, you know, get a feel for him and figure out, you know, see what, how his journey's gone, whatever, how he became the master that he is in the amazing shape that he got in and how he got involved there and all that kind of stuff. But also maybe get some new takes and, you know, maybe answer some questions from him he might have about whatever. He's an incredible man, and I got to say, as someone who, myself, I like to pay it forward, and I always see the importance of training the younger wrestling talent or the younger talent out there in the world to get to where they want to be in life. I'm always a huge supporter of people go after their dreams and goals, and if I can help someone by showing them a trick, giving them some type of tools to help them, then I obviously will. I've trained multiple pro wrestlers in both how to do promos and how to do various other things in pro wrestling. And, you know, a lot of people don't understand, but pro wrestling and bodybuilding aren't terribly too far apart because both take a lot of time, I'm sure, and commitment. And you have to pretty much be in pretty decent shape. Even if you see a pro wrestler who looks like that guy is, you know, 500 pounds, so they can't be very big, that could be deceiving. So that 500-pound person could probably run around a ring better and have more endurance than people who are a lot smaller who don't exercise. I think fitness and staying healthy is important no matter how old you are or what sport you're in. I had some very close friends of mine who did bodybuilding before going into pro wrestling and vice versa. Sometimes they left pro wrestling to become bodybuilders, and then some of them stayed doing it, and some of them, you know, they went back to pro wrestling, and some of them went from wrestling to bodybuilding to back to wrestling, and then they became Hollywood blockbusting actors. Then once in a while, they come back to wrestling. Of course, that's my friend from my neck of the woods up north. Good old the prototype himself. So he's a big shout out to him if he's ever listening. Highly doubtful, but that's okay. And, you know, this guy is such a giving guy. He actually works with one of our former guests, actually. He's one of his trainers. So we're going to have to give him recognition for that as well. So it's going to be pretty cool. We're waiting momentarily. It's going to be a few minutes away. And, yeah, he is all excited. Should be fun. And yeah, hopefully he's not nervous. I can't see this guy being nervous. He seems very calm, cool, and collected, which I believe is a good trait to have in any kind of a scenario. But yeah, this man, Philip Ricardo Jr., actually trains JoJo the Bodybuilder, who you guys know from both our wrestling show as well as a former guest on this show. And I think only just recently I was just praising JoJo for his commitment and his amazing climb to excellence, because he's still, you know, doing everything he needs to do. He's still making gains. He's still putting the work in. He's still a powerhouse in the gym. And as we said when he was on the show, it's amazing that a young man can have that kind of commitment. He's learning from someone like this man who's going to be coming in momentarily. And I think we're going to have give him some praise and give him some acknowledgement for his awesomeness. And, you know, because as someone who also sees the importance of training tomorrow's generation and also sees the value in paying it forward, I respect that. I respect the guy who is willing to, who doesn't see themselves to be, you know, so in such a spot where they can't, you know, pay it forward to someone else. So, you know, I think that's awesome. And I welcome him soon. So we bring him in. I do have to find out what his housekeeping rules for. So we'll find that out momentarily. And should be a lot of fun. So should be really, really cool. So we're just going to wait for him to come on and I'll do that. And then we're going to have a little part two. Once he calls in, we're going to bring him on and we'll chat about fitness and his bodybuilding career and, you know, all that fun stuff and commend him for all of his hard work. Speaking of which, let's see. Hello. Hello. Is this Philip?
Hello. This is Philip. How you doing, Sean? Can you hear me?
Can you hear me awesome?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Amazing. Amazing. Usually there's all kinds of technical difficulties in the front and whatever else, but, you know, one of the six times, it's perfection all the way.
Nice.
No, I'm just kidding. Not all the shows. Once in a while, there's a tech glitch here and there, but yeah, we get pretty lucky most of the time. I find it's usually when we have a really cool guest on that usually it works somehow. I don't know how that works. I had a friend on my show last week, and we were doing a project last week, and unfortunately, that was when we had a very rare tornado in our area. Which in our area, we don't get tornadoes, but that tornado knocked out the server in just before the show was supposed to begin. So that was fun. But you know what? It's okay. But anyway, welcome to the show. I was just telling
you. Yeah, my pleasure, man. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's not a pleasure. As I said, this is probably going to be the easiest thing you've ever been because on this show, we like people to kind of sit back, relax, and have a great conversation. It's kind of like, you know, having a conversation with a friend of yours you haven't seen in a long time or a new friend you haven't seen in a long time and, you know, great, calm, cool, collective, you know, and just, it's only, you know, 7 billion people listening at the same time. No big deal.
No pressure, right?
As you can see, I like to love, I use humor anyway. So anyway, first and foremost, because I like to be respectful, how would you like me to address you? Me to call you Philip, Phil, Mr. Ricardo, what would you like?
Whatever's easy for you, bro. I mean, honestly, yeah, I've heard Junior before. You know, today's actually my father's birthday, too, by the way. Well,
oh, is it?
You know, unfortunately, he died about 4 years ago, but he's, you know, 3 years ago. Yeah, but, you know, that's the essence of life, unfortunately. Today's actually my sister and my father's birthday. My sister's alive, but, you know, he was a great man, and I'm glad to be, you know, called a junior, and I hope that I make him proud. And
I'm sure you do, and I have to say, I would say you do, definitely. And again, condolences, but you know what? You know he's with you every single step you take. Every time you take a stage, every walk you go, he's with you all the time. You know that.
You amen for that, for sure.
I'm a firm believer in that. I lost my mother. It's going to be 14 years come next year. So I kind of get that. I wasn't lucky enough to have the father deal, but my mother was kind of both. That was kind of a rough time for me. But, you know, life, and unfortunately, because of my line of business, it's just like, it seems like this is something I'm so used to. As much as it sounds ridiculous, but I'm so used to hearing so-and-so, you know, some of this news. That's like, I show condolences, I feel bad, genuinely, I feel bad, and I often condolences just, I don't know in the bodybuilding world if it's the same thing. I come from pro wrestling and also the entertainment world, so in those two combined, you know, life expectancy, life spans of people in our business are not as long as they should be, I guess. I don't know how it is for bodybuilding, I mean, you can speak to that more than I would, but it's definitely something we're used to hearing so-and-so, you know, something happened or.
Yeah, it's similar. I think a lot of athletics, you know, when we push our bodies to the limit and, you know, there's all type of things that you go through, you know, the health can become a factor, you know, whether you're overeating, overtraining, lack of sleep, all that stuff. And, You know, for me, I do drug-free bodybuilding, so at least the drug part isn't becoming an issue at all. In fact, it probably helps a lot of the drug-free bodybuilders stay, you know, competitive in their 50s, 60s, and 70s. But, you know, on the other side of it, where you have the ones that are taking, you know, performance enhancements and stuff like that, they're unfortunately passing away way earlier than they should. You know, some in their 20s, 30s, 40s. You know.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a tough sport. Yeah, it's definitely a tough sport. Yeah,
sure. You know, I have to be honest. Like, I have some friends of mine who either came into from wrestling to bodybuilding, or they went from wrestling to bodybuilding, they came back to wrestling, or they went from wrestling to bodybuilding, or some of them went from wrestling to bodybuilding, back to wrestling, back to bodybuilding, then went back to wrestling, then became Hollywood blockbusting actors. I don't know if you ever heard of a guy named John Cena by any chance. Have you ever heard of that guy? Probably not. I know you know, you might not be a wrestling fan, but I think you might have seen a movie once or twice with him in it, maybe, huh?
John Cena? I have no idea. Same thing with The Rock. I don't know who those guys are.
Yeah, I bet, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Both are really good guys. Actually, John lives not too far away from where, well, funny part was, John Cena is actually not far from where I'm from. Actually, we're from the same state, but like his neck of the woods and my neck of the woods are two different things. So, one of those small world kind of a thing.
Right. Yeah, that's how it normally
is. Okay, as far as the drug-free thing, I respect that, and I'll tell you why. You know, I decided a long, long time ago because, in general, I don't know, I mean, I know you do it for a different reason, I'm sure, because of the bodybuilding, whatever, but for myself, I've never seen the benefit of drugs and alcohol at all, and a lot of the times I was teased a lot, even when I was older, because I could go to a bar and just sit and drink a Pepsi Cola. That's as hard as it gets. That's the hard stuff for me. But I don't even drink that anymore because I don't like soda anymore. But for me, I don't really enjoy alcohol. I don't really enjoy drugs. I've never enjoyed it. And also, I've never seen any benefit from anyone from ever taking any of those. That's just not only from my professional career, but also, you know, growing up in my family. My mother, the reason, you know, she was in a rough way. By the time she was 42, she was confined to a wheelchair for a severe emphysema because in her era, her day, they smoked early. So from years of cigarette smoking, she was confined to a wheelchair because of emphysema. Now, you being the bodybuilder, you know kind of a little bit more about physical health and whatever. You know, that's a pretty nasty thing. And unfortunately, you know, it wasn't even that, you know, unfortunately it took her out either, which is sad. But my mother was a spirit. Let me tell you, she was a fighter all the way through. She didn't let that bother her either because she was a very interesting person, probably like your dad. He was probably – was your dad big in shape too? Is he into this world or
– He, you know, worked out for sure, and he was kind of my inspiration growing up because he had muscles. And every time I saw him, you know, I was like, wow, you know, I want to look like that. And he would have – back in the day, you know, they had the sand weights, you know, the weights that had the sand in them, and they were plastic. And we'd have that in our apartment, and I see him working out, and that's kind of how I started working out, doing that in push-ups, you know, until I went to high school. And then when I went to high school, that's when I started working out. So, yeah, it definitely stemmed from him and seeing, you know, good-looking guys. So my mom was a beautiful woman. You know, they had their issues. Same thing with drugs and alcohol. That's kind of what prevented me from going that route, especially with the drugs. But
at high five, you would go all the way on the side. Sure.
Right.
I'm with you.
Yeah,
you know, but I respect that, and good for you, and good for you also because of that, you know, because it's easy for someone to say, well, I grew up into that, so I have to do that too, but we know
we don't
have to do that. We can still honor our parents, we can still honor the people who are important and played a valuable part in our life without having to take every one of their qualities on, do you know what I mean? I have personal good friends of mine who I adore, and I thought they were great, but they made really poor decisions, and they weren't, you know, safe with things. And unfortunately, it doesn't make it anywhere any better. But on the same sense, you know, you kind of feel bad, you know, but on the same sense, you know, that keeps me on the straight and narrow, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, I mean,
I've never
none
seen
of us are perfect,
better.
You know? Right.
Now, let me ask you something. So, I don't know a few people. I know a little bit about the bodybuilding world because, like I said, I've known people who have done it and stuff, and there's various different stories. Now, you've talked a little bit about how you kind of inspired by your dad. How did, what kind of, this is what I want to do. I want to be a bodybuilder. What was that like for you? I know this is a question you've probably been asked a thousand times. That was 1,001.
Yeah, this will be fun. This will be fun. Well, I mean, for me, you know, bodybuilding wasn't ever on my radar. My first love is football. And so I grew up playing football from a very young age, playing Pop Warner football. My dad got me into the game. I was playing football. I was a real skinny kid, had asthma. Football helped me get healthier and healthier by just being outside and being active. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I joined the military, actually, until bodybuilding even became a thing for me. You know, because back then there's no YouTube, there's no Instagram, Facebook, all that stuff.
Yes.
I joined the Marine Corps in, 1989, I got stationed out in Japan in 1990, and then I started working out. That's all I did, basically just work out. You know, I did drink on the weekends with my friends, and it's just the way the Marine Corps and military life was.
Sure.
But then, I was getting in great shape, and then I stepped on stage because they had someone that said, hey, there's a show here, and that's how the bodybuilding thing got started for me. So it's one of those things, I just got kind of thrusted into it. You fall in love with it. I got my first, individual trophy versus a trophy from football, and I just kept on going until now.
Now, what made you choose the bodybuilding over the football? Was it something, did you feel better on the stage versus on the field, or what was it that turned you on the bodybuilding versus the football?
I mean, I just really feel it's God's path for me because I still love football, but unfortunately, while in the military, I was still playing, flag football. It wasn't tackle football like I did in high school football.
Right,
I didn't go to college and play there, if I had gone to college and played football, my parents couldn't afford for me to go. I didn't get a full scholarship. So because of that, I kind of just got put in that position in the Marine Corps to do it. And I still played football on the side and was hoping, wishing I could have, turned that into a pro career or something. But it was really easy with bodybuilding because I was kind of more in charge of my own destiny. With football, you got a team, you got people that you could be the best player on your team, but if the rest of your team is in, at that level, you're kind of at that, at the mercy of them. But for me, I was able to control my diet, control the weeks I lived, and everything else. And so it just became more of a challenge for me to make my body get better, make it to a work of art so I can step on stage. And,
Absolutely. Now, this is another question I'm sure you get a lot. Now, I have my friend John Cena, who I know you've heard of. But John, when we started really getting to know each other and stuff like that, my company that I was working with actually did way back when he – so what he did was he started training at my school where I trained under Killer Kowalski, who's – I don't know if you know much about pro wrestling, but he was one of the most legendary big bad guys. He came from Canada originally, but he taught one of the best schools in wrestling in the United States at the time. He was the one who was responsible for training people like Triple H – who's now the CEO of WWE Entertainment. He's married to the boss's daughter over there. He's also responsible for training a bunch of other people, including myself. And one of the things that John would tell me is that when he was – because he was with us, then he left the bodybuilder because he was really – like a lot of us, I was a gym rat at age 13 because that's when the doctor said I could actually start working out. I remember I was 10 years old. I was always a short and skinny kid. I was into doing what we called freestyle martial arts at the time, which would turn into MMA now because I was cross-trained in multiple forms. They didn't have MMA per se in the 80s and the early 90s. What they called it was freestyle, so I would compete in a lot of those. So I was always, active anyway, but I was really skinny and thin, bone thin. But you wouldn't know that on a mat. On a mat, I'd be this small, little, scrawny kid. But you get me on a mat when I'm doing, martial arts, and I was completely opposite. And I didn't make up a difference for it. But I would look. I remember being 10 years old, and I looked in the mirror. And I said, I don't like this. I don't like how skinny I am. And I'm a firm believer. If you don't like something in life, then it's up to you to do something about it. So I talked to my doctor. And the doctor said, we suggest you, if you want to lift weights, because, that's the only way I knew how to
get any stronger, like put on muscle like these people I've seen, right? So
right.
I asked my doctor at the time because that's kind of the only thing I knew because I didn't really know any other person outside my, you know, my sensei. He would say go to see a doctor first. And I did. I talked to him. He said he suggested I start when I was about 13 to start lifting. Because that way they're my fault, because I'm sort of more grown and I'm a little bit more, I'll be a little bit more mature to handle that. And then I became a gym rat, which is what ended up with happening there.
Right.
You know how it goes. Now, I want to ask you a two-part question. So one was, I remember when John was talking to us about how he was going into the bodybuilding, he, believe it or not, he was a very shy person, which, think about that now. You got to be a
right.
Being a, see, I know kind of how the bodybuilding thing works, and I know there's a lot of, you know, there's things that are on the bodybuilding world that a lot of people like, oh, like when I was on the swim team, for example, in high school, people would give me a hard time because I had to wear that uniform. I was also on the, well, I played football in high school, by the way, too, but a different type of football. I played European football in high school.
I was a
tri-sporter, so that's kind of how I stayed in shape. I also like to do the gym as well. So, like I said, I was a very sports-oriented person. I liked the feeling of being able to contribute for one as a team, and also to, you know, do something and keep busy because I don't like sitting still. I'm always constantly working or writing or something. So that's what I do now. When I was younger, I like to play sports. So high school, I broke it into three. Soccer in the fall, wrestling was in the winter, which is Greco-Roman wrestling, and then swim team in the spring is how we broke it in. So I was covered all three. And so for each of those sports, you also have to keep in shape for those, which is why I'm familiar with how to, you know, stay healthy and stay in shape, and I was always in the gym anyway. But what I wanted to ask you is the two-part question was, one, for John Cena, for example, one of the things he had to do is ask, when he was, because he was shy, to get ready for a competition, and, you know, because we all know how the competitions work and how you're supposed to go on stage or whatever, which is, you know, whatever. But John Cena was very shy to even do that part, like to go out shirtless or anything like that, let alone be in, you know, the actual bodybuilding attire. So what I want to ask you is, how did you get over that? Did that ever factor for you? Did you ever have to second-guess yourself, or is that something you had to overcome yourself? And if so, how did you have to do it? Because I know what his story was, how he had to do it.
Right. I think I was pretty similar to John Cena, because I was very shy. I grew up, you know, I didn't want to talk to anybody. I was afraid to say something stupid. And that's what kind of got me into sports, to kind of get me out of my shell. I was afraid to talk to girls, but of course I loved women, and I was, you know, kind of like a motivation. You know, that's why I wanted to play football and work out. But you know, when I got to the military, I kind of, you know, broke out of my shell a little bit, because I was on my own and I was able to, you know, learn a different language and culture and everything. So when I finally stepped on stage, even though I was very, very shy and I had no idea what I was doing, I think I was kind of ready to do it, because I just thought that I had the potential. You know, I'd read the you know, Muscle and Fitness, Flex and Iron Man magazines and all that.
Oh, I know that one.
I was like, maybe I can do this. And I went up there, even though I was scared. I think being forced to do something, I never back down when I'm forced to or put to a task or something. So, you know, I went on stage.
That.
I wasn't really perfectly prepared, but you know, when I was there, I just did the best I could, and I actually won my weight class, you know, for just doing it for my first time. And when you have success at something in the beginning, obviously you're going to want to keep doing it. But, yeah, I didn't. I was very scared. I had that stage fright. I was up there in a little Speedo, and so it wasn't the most comfortable.
Flattering thing in the world,
but,
right? Sure. But you overcame it, though.
But, you know, yeah, I overcame it. And it also helps when, you know, you're not the only one on stage, so there's others around you, so you can you know, size everybody up and see you're in the same situation. And, you know, we had a lot of military guys, so we're used to, you know, being around. When you're in the military anyway, you're kind of exposed, especially when you come out of boot camp. So that kind of already shocks you and gets you out of any kind of shyness that you have to be, because we're all, you know, when you're in boot camp, it's crazy. Like, you're getting no sleep, you're taking showers in the same room, you're taking... You know, you're going to the toilet and people are seeing right across from you while you're taking a dump. It's weird, you know?
Yep.
It's crazy
yep.
stuff.
Oh,
so,
you know, I get it, though, all too well. Same thing as in the any
yeah.
kind of a locker room, really, though, because I was a sports guy, like I said,
exactly.
in high school. So I was used to that.
Yeah.
Back in our day, you have the shower in gym class. Oh, today they would never be able to do that today. But in our day, we had to shower for gym class, and that was the other thing. So there was no
yeah.
there was no shame. In fact, you know, we were probably more
exactly.
lax about it, which is why I said, eh, whatever, you know. But
yeah,
John
yeah.
Cena, the way he... The way he got over it is the person training him, I guess, was out in California. They had him in his Speedo stand on the corner in front of the school on the busiest intersection and go through his routine
wow.
in his Speedo. That's how they got John
oh,
Cena to get ready for it. Could you imagine that now? That's not that's not in front of other people. That's just I want you to stand on that island right here. Which is the busiest
wow.
intersection. It was, by the way, it was the busiest part of the day, which is where he had him stand there and go through his whole routine in his just his Speedo. That's it. So that's how John
that's
Cena had to get
torture.
Over it. It can
torture,
be, right?
Torture. Yeah. Especially if you're uncomfortable
you
with it. You know what? If that gets you out of your you know, your fear, nothing will. So
yeah,
now look, he's performing in front of billions of people around the world. So.
Exactly. It works, which is why, you know, I get it, you know, the bodybuilders and stuff like that, because that's something they're used to. For me, it doesn't bother me. I'm used to that stuff. But I know for other
exactly.
people, it might be a little awkward for them, because I get that, you know. But on the same sense, I hear different stories. You know, I mean, some guys just don't care. They just walk around, no problem, whatever. But some people are like, I don't know. You know what I mean? And a lot of people
right,
have
right.
this assumption, right? How many people already assume before they even talk to you or meet you that you're like this, you know, gorilla guy who has, you know, you know what I'm saying, the stereotypes for the bodybuilders, right? Kind of like I have the stereotypes
so,
for the wrestlers.
Oh, of course. I think that, you know, all you know, you're just a meathead. You know, you
yeah.
don't have any brains. You're conceited. You're all about you. There's so many
yeah.
things. That come with it. So, you know, when it comes to that stuff, for me, I always make it a point, you know, and there's so many things that I try to make a point of proving myself without coming across as a jerk, you know, like, you know, I'm mixed race, you know, I'm black and Puerto Rican, so if I'm in a white neighborhood and someone thinks I'm going to talk in a certain way, I try to come across as somebody they can relate to so that, you know, they don't have this preconceived notion that I'm like, you know, a thug or something. And the same
sure.
thing with being a bodybuilder. I still have brains. I work as a contractor with the government. So I do things
sure.
that, you know,
sure.
people will be shocked as I'm not just a personal trainer, you know, work out. I have a real job. And so, you know, those are the things that
yeah.
you do. You try to be as well-rounded as you can. And yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the things I think is awesome. You know, I also have to keep on track of the time because I know you said I want to make sure you meet your time, but it's really a lot of fun. Just want to say
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
I feel
I
like I'm
always
burnt
yeah,
chicken thing. But what I want to do first, but before I go through, I want to make sure I recognize you because, you know, as someone who I feel, I was just saying before you came on that I feel it's important to kind of take care of the future generation who are going to be taken over when our time is done because that's going to come eventually. And I know some of the people who you work with, and you do phenomenal work. And I respect people who take time to help others to achieve their goals. That's what I try to do, but different ways, you know. I see
right.
someone who I believe in, and I guess I have a very old school way. I know people who want it, and I know people who have the drive for it, and I know the ones who sometimes forced into it, and other someone who kind of just like, just for a little while. You know what I mean? I'm sure you see that a lot too, right?
All the time. Yeah, it's one of those things where I love to have the type of clients or people that I, you know, are on my team or I'm teaming up with that have the passion and desire versus someone that, you know, I have to force to do something. And I usually don't take on, I'm a busy person, so I usually have people come out and reach out to me, but I can tell right away who's serious and who's not, you know what I mean? And so,
exactly.
So
I think that's important.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
Very important. There's
sure.
got to be that passion, not just discipline. If you have a passion for something, you're going to keep on going, and you're going to work to it until you reach that goal.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things I like to do. Plus, I also like to give, you know, praise when it's called for. Even, you know, I don't know if how many people get to hear me saying good things about them. I've said good things about you. You probably just the first time you're on the show. But I respect people, like I said, who take that time to take care of the future generation. Because, like in pro wrestling or film, which is where I come from, both genders of the spectrum, I take time to make sure those people can get to where they need to be. I take that time because I think it's important because we got to keep the future generations going so that whatever it is we're doing can continue, right? For you, for bodybuilding, if you don't have anyone who's interested in doing it anymore, there's no more bodybuilding. And then no one's going to be able to experience the awesome things you have, right?
That's 100% correct. I have right now a young kid living up in upstate New York, and I'm training him. He's 11 years old. His name is Jonah Goldwyn, called JoJo the Bodybuilder on Instagram. And I have never met a more disciplined kid in my whole life. Not just kids, just overall. He's competed at my show because I promote a show that has kids fitness and, you know, all their different type of divisions for fitness. And he is always the crowd pleaser. And he is my best client because he just, you know, his passion is infectious. I just wish I was like him and started at age 10, you know, to compete in bodybuilding. And he's won so many titles because he's just a man. So he's very encouraging. I encourage him. His parents are awesome to trust, you know, their son with me. And I know his whole entire family. These are the type of relationships that you build, you know, when you have a passion to give back, like you said. It's very rewarding.
It's funny you mentioned that because he is one of the people who I've had on this show, and he is somewhat one of the people who I have on the YouTube wrestling show, and one of the people I firmly believe in, who is going to be whatever he wants to be. For the same reasons you just said. In fact, you just said what I said on the YouTube show the other day when I was giving praise to the people who we have on the show, and then on this podcast I said the same things. And I told him when I talked to him earlier, I said, you know, your coach is coming on my show tonight. And he was all excited. And I said, you know, I'm probably going to make you blush, just so you know, because I'm sure we're going to probably say some good things about you, just so you know. But I say you did a great job with him. He's doing great things. And like I said, it shows. When I had him on the show, I could tell that he was serious about it. And just an amazing young man, and I hope I know he'll be there, and with a great trainer like you, he'll get there. So great stuff right there. Thank you. And thank you for acknowledging the fact that I was right. Look at that. How about that? See, I'm not the only one who believes in these people. I'm not the only one. That's just, I know people out there. I know the people who are the real deal. I know the people who are just kind of, just for a couple. But I also know I was the person who was committed. Everything I have is because I had to put the work in myself. Do you know, because like in bodybuilding, the only person who's going to push you to there is going to be you. You're the only one who's going to have control over how you look, how you stay in shape, right? How you stay healthy.
I agree.
And being someone like yourself who is also drug-free, in my career in wrestling, for example, my first night, I was 19 years old when I signed my first contract. I know, crazy, right? 19 years old. I was, you know, I was still in shape back then, too, by the way. I was still in pretty decent shape. And I just got out of high school, actually. So 19 years old, just got out of high school, graduated, and I got signed to the contract in Philadelphia, the old school ECW, which is kind of some hardcore stuff. I don't know how much you know about wrestling, but it's kind of
rough. I know a lot about wrestling.
Oh, awesome. Like I said, it's not too far from each. I feel like it's one of those kind of things that everyone kind of has a mutual respect for one another kind of a deal. But,
sure. I mean, I used to watch wrestling back in the day with Jimmy Superfly Snuka, and he was one of the Zeke's that I really liked. And, of course, the Ultimate Warrior, you know, those – when you see these big beasts and they're able to, you know, fly off the ring, you know, off the ropes and you know, do flips and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
That's what, you know, motivation.
Yeah. Absolutely. And a lot of people, like I'm sure, like you just talked about how the people have the conceptions of, you know, the bodybuilders not being smart or whatever. People have the same thing about wrestlers. The other thing is, oh, it's all fake. And now that it hurts and these other things. I said, well, it's fake right up until you hit the mat because there's no faking gravity. That's one of my favorite questions. I have to answer 700 times.
I get it.
But,
that's got to be rough.
But when I was 19, I walked into my first ECW, my first night on ECW, and I had like a local contract. So I was in my area in New England. And I was 19. I walked into this locker room with people who were 7 times older than I was. And I don't know how it is in a bodybuilding locker room, but I can tell you a wrestling locker room is a very creative and colorful environment, let me tell you. I can't.
Yeah.
I talked about it on this show before. If you were to walk to this locker room, it would probably be all over the PSAs everywhere. You know, people would think this is how it always is, which is not the case, by the way. But, you know, there were people using and doing and whatever else. And at that point, I was still never had done any drugs. The only thing I do, which is probably the only vice I have, is once in a while I'll have coffee and tea. That's my biggest flaw, I guess, in retrospect, is tea and coffee.
That's not even a flaw. That, you know, it's been known that coffee has lots of health benefits that are being, you know, if you look it up now, it's actually, you know, considered healthy because of the fact that it has certain things that help with your cancer, your liver, mm-hmm. all different types
True.
Of things. And of course, Alzheimer's, because of the way it makes you, you know, your brain fog go away. So, yeah, you do some research on it. Even though back in the day, they said that coffee is bad, too much caffeine, which it is. You can't, you know, have 1,000 milligrams of caffeine like those energy drinks, but, you know, coffee and tea, totally healthy. Yeah, you're good to go.
Absolutely. And I decided even that night, I'm never going to do any of these things. I'm still not going to. I was offered a beer from one of the guys. I was 19, remember? And at the, I don't know about every other state, but in my area, it's going to be the drinking age is 21. But I wasn't going to drink it, regardless who was going to offer it, because I don't drink.
Right.
So one of the guys, hey, want a beer? And he's like, oh, he's only 19. He's like, okay, want a beer? He's like, no, I'm good. Nice. But, like, what I remembered is just being able to go out into the ring. And one of the things that made me a good at what I did is the ability to be able to talk and tell a story. Because I was good at promos, which is talking, by the way, in wrestling terminology, talking. But so one of the things is I was a hometown face, which means I was a good guy in my hometown. So someone came out and talked about our town. I was being a jerk in my area. I'd have to go down there and lay down the law. I was the voice of the people, the voice of the voiceless. And that was the first character I had, was based on the persona that the kids in high school gave me. And that's what makes it, you know, that's one of the things people can't understand. Like, a lot of the perceptions people have is just because you're a wrestler or a bodybuilder, there's more to the person than just what they are doing.
Your name is Vengeance, right?
I was. The whole thing was, I am 6 feet tall. I am 215 pounds. I was actually 198.
Right.
But anyway, I was 6 feet tall, 210 pounds. I am the man, myth, and legend. I am Jazz Vengeance. Don't be afraid. Be terrified. And then I'd knock the guy out, and I'd say, you just got jazzed by Vengeance. I think my first promo, I knocked the guy out with the thing, and I put him in a black rose, which is one of my submission moves. And I put him to sleep after a shadow kick, and I said, when Sleeping Beauty gets up, tell him he just got jazzed by Vengeance. The roof came off the little gymnasium room. But that's something else I wanted to ask you about. So when you talk about going on stage and how – what is that like for you when you go on stage now and whenever? Do you feel the energy? What is it for you that keeps you going to the stage or wanting to go to the stage? Is it the feeling you get for yourself to see that, or is it the reaction? Do you feed on the energy? What is it that keeps you going to the stage?
Yeah, that's a great, great question. I've never been asked that before, but it's all of the above. I think it's, like you said, there's so many parallels to wrestling and bodybuilding. Like for me, being a shy guy, right, just like John Cena, you're on stage, you don't know if someone's appreciating, if you even fit the part, like, why would you even belong on stage? And then the next thing you know, you get cheers, you get people, you know, coming up to you later on saying, you looked amazing, I loved your performance. And then over the years, you know, as I got more successful, I got called to do guest appearances, and I would do these very original type poses, you know, because you see someone doing the same pose, the front double bicep abs, all that. The same old, but I had a friend of mine that challenged me to make it theatrical. And so I did a robot type routine that, you know, the crowd ended up loving. So every time I looked forward to being on stage because it was rush of people.
The energy, right?
You know?
Yes.
The energy was unreal. Okay. You know, it's like I couldn't wait to do it. And, you know, it's almost like I said, it's God's blessing where he gives you a gift of being able to perform. And I'm just really grateful for that, you know, ability. And I love the feeling even today at this age and as many times I've done it, there's not a time when I don't feel energy.
No. Oh, man. All too well, you're preaching.
Yeah.
I get that. Boy, do I get that, because that's why I figured it's not that far from wrestling, because that's exactly what keeps me going. And that's one of the reasons, that's kind of what makes wrestlers want to wrestle. It isn't necessarily the titles or the money or anything like that. It's that feeling you get to be in front of a crowd and hold that attention in the palm of your hands. Yeah, once you get past that awkward, shy phase. But here's the other thing. When, like you said, you evolved on the stage. You're a different kind of a version of yourself. In wrestling, we're perceiving someone else kind of a different version of ourselves as well. So we're getting to kind of put forth this thing, and you own that crowd, and that crowd's there. When you realize you're over, and wrestling, that's a term for in wrestling, where it means you're doing really well. But when you're over with the fans, which means you're popular, then that's going to be a thing. Even if you're a good bad guy, because I had to do that later in life, which is a lot of fun, let me tell you. But just to have that energy in front of a crowd, no matter how big it is, to have that energy. I've performed in front of the stages of 500 people, and I've performed in front of stadiums for 7,000 people or 775,000 people. So I get that feeling, you know what I mean? That's that energy you get. I call it adrenaline, honestly. I feel like it's the adrenaline you get between the time you come to the curtain, from you go to the curtain to the ring, that's that rush you get. I don't know I've seen bodybuilders walk on the stage. So it's kind of like that, right? You right back behind the curtain, then you walk off the curtain right in front of the thing, and boom, you're into the routine. And that's when you get that energy. So I totally get that. I call it that, the adrenaline rush. And I also call that the bug also. And that's actually a wrestling term too. So the bug, per se, is when you're sitting in an arena, no matter where it is, you can just feel the energy, no matter what you're doing. And then you get what's called the calling to go back to the ring. And that's when people like Ric Flair and people who are, you know, in their 70s still want to go out there and still think that they're 35 years old again.
Doesn't he have like a match this weekend or something coming up?
Yes, he does. He's Ric Flair, who's 70 plus years old, is having his last match. Incredible.
Yeah, I saw that. It's going to be
I'm friends with a lot of those people, and I support a lot of those podcasters and everything else. They're all, you know, and that's the other thing also. You never stop learning from other people, which is one of the reasons I think I do this show also. I like to give information, but I also like to learn information, too. I want to learn more about these things I don't know about. Like I said, I only know about bodybuilding from what I know from people I've talked to. I've never competed in bodybuilding, but, I mean, I like to stay in shape, and I appreciate everything they do. And I kind of figured it was the adrenaline rush when you were on stage, and I get that, you know.
You're
successful,
that feeds
it.
Have you ever heard of Rob Terry? Robert Terry. He's a Welsh warrior.
Yes,
he was with
I know Rob Terry
He's a bodybuilder. He won the Natural Olympia 2 years when I had kind of retired and came out. And Generation Iron actually filmed, made a movie with him in it and myself and a couple of others. And it chronicled us check it out. You'll love it. And it's Natty for Life. And obviously, Rob Terry being 6'4", 280, whatever the heck he is, he's one of the most imposing. He's a monster. I've never seen anyone in real life that imposing, you know. And, you know,
yeah,
he comes
a big
across
boy.
Like he with that persona of just like, the, you know, he's the baddest man on earth and this and that. But when I met him, especially at the show when we competed against each other, nicest guy, family man, lovely wife.
Yeah.
He now has two kids.
Yeah.
And his physique is phenomenal. And it was great being on stage with him and having it all caught on a movie. So he kind of, you know, I started following him more because of the fact that he obviously was a successful wrestler and everything else that he does. And, you know, it's so crazy. Like you said, you know, wrestlers and bodybuilding, it's There's so much, just the performance aspect, the personalities that are in it. He is definitely a personality, sure. Yeah,
there's a lot of those conceptions, too. A lot of people think they see on TV is how they are in real life, or that's how it's going to be. And it's, you know, like my wife, I love my wife. She's a huge wrestling fan. That's one of the reasons why she married me, probably. Actually, we met at a wrestling show because she, one of those things where I was doing a signing and she was there meeting other wrestlers, and she had a podcast at the time, a long time ago, 20-plus years.
Wow.
And at the time, I took a break to talk to Bobby the Brain Heenan, if you remember that name, and she was actually meeting him at the same time. So at that time, this is one of those schmaltzy stories, sorry, but when I just got done talking to Bobby Heenan, I looked up and there was my future wife, and she was staring, and we caught eyes, and that's kind of how that started. One of those sickening love stories. Sorry, people, we had to bore you with some sappy love stories. Built out of wrestling of all things. So my wife, bless her heart, she's into a lot of the wrestling stuff, and as I am, I trained in it. She also trained in wrestling. She also likes wrestling, but she's more lean in it than I am. Today's wrestling, I'm not overly fond of. I came from a generation where, you know, you kind of wrestle smart and don't take so many kind of fools. Like when I was working in ECW, those guys did some crazy things. I'm not saying I didn't. I did my share of crazy things too, but I still had my limits, and I did it completely sober. There were some guys not so much. And let me tell you, a lot of people who think that wrestling's fake, I got my first injury when I was 23. So 2003 was my first serious injury. Which I'm going to ask you about injuries in a second, too. But I got injured in 2003, and it wasn't because of anything I did. This is another thing, you know. It's because the guy I was working with was known to not be a safe worker, and I didn't know that.
Mm.
And that happens in wrestling, too, when you have a guy who's not as well-trained or someone we call a green, someone, you know. So he went to do something I've done a million times, but he blew out my knee in the middle of the match. And I still had to go another 15 minutes with a blown-out knee. The match wasn't over. That's how wrestling works.
So
but also, because of that, I had to stop. I couldn't. Actually, that's why I was really sad, because that was when the doctor said, you can't wrestle and you can't work out. You got to wait for this, let this thing heal, because my doctor knows me all too well. So I stopped wrestling in 2003, which was, by the way, my biggest year. I was in the PWI magazine as the top Golden Microphone Award. I worked several companies at that time. I met my friend Phil Brooks, who I don't know if you've heard of him. But he's also like me and you. He's also straight edge. You probably know him better as wrestling name CM Punk.
Gotcha.
But anyway, CM Punk, I met CM Punk many years ago, and one of the things that we bonded over was the fact that neither one of us were into drugs. And that's the same thing we had. That's why we were part of the original Straight Edge Society, was the name of our tag team in Ring of Honor back in the day.
Okay, right.
We were in Ring of Honor together, and then when CM Punk left, I got another tag team partner from a friend of mine, another tag team partner who was another friend of mine, but he's from Georgia. He's not as straight edge, but he's still a good guy. That's my friend AJ Styles. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but really nice guy. And actually, if you want my opinion, he might be one of the greatest wrestlers of all, to be honest. And I've been around a lot of wrestlers, and that's even always putting him over me. AJ Styles was one of the purest, best wrestlers on the planet, and I have a lot of respect for everybody, of course. But, I mean, CM Punk and I are really good friends. And even to this day, I talk to these guys. And, you know, they helped me back. That's one of the things. I'm sure it's like that in bodybuilding, too. You guys watch out for each other and help each other out and stuff like that. I'm sure it's like that in the locker room, too, right?
Well, it definitely is for the National Drug-Free Federations. I can't say the same thing just from my experience with the, you know, non-tested federations. You know, I'm drug-free for life, but I started out with the doing drugs because I didn't know any better, because there weren't any natural federations. And when I found one, I stuck with that, and, you know, ever since then. But, you know, the camaraderie with the drug-free ones, everyone is so friendly. You know, we all want to have fun. We know what we're going up against, and just doing it in relation to the lifestyle. And it is a great relationship. Like, we're always, you know, it doesn't matter who's first, second, third. You know, we just kind of look at each other and, you know, congratulate each other. We
Sure.
We celebrate, you know, have success and different shows or just their physiques in general, so it's great.
Now, do you guys give each other feedback, too, and say, hey, you know, we might want to try this next time? And how does that go over in the bodybuilding world? Like, we call it constructive criticism, but.
Yeah, we do the same thing. I mean, it's the same thing because, like, for us, you know, each show, if you've competed for a long time like I have, you know, a lot of these guys
right.
are not competing now because I'm in my 50s, and there's some other guys I'm competing now with the 50s, and we've all been, you know, competing for about 30 years, and we've,
sure.
like, met each other way back in those days, and, you know, as we get older, obviously it's a lot harder to get into condition, and you lose a bit of muscle, so you start asking these questions, like, hey, what are you doing, you know, to maintain, you know, whether it's your, you know, testosterone levels naturally,
sure.
or, you know, I'm having some back pain, what do you do to work around it, you know, there's all
sure.
different type of things now that you've got to definitely work smarter, not harder. Because we're not
That's
spring
right.
chickens anymore, you know.
That's right.
But,
absolutely.
You gotta be smart. That's when you can have that
right.
longevity, you know.
That's right.
Yeah, so.
When I was injured, because I'm such a power, I like to keep myself busy. That's when I went to regular school, they called it. Because I put some time into wrestling, I earned 2 college degrees in that time. Because I put the same energy towards regular school, as I called it. So that's when I earned
right.
a degree in human services and in film production while I was injured. And then, you know what happened, though, because I'm sure it's the same thing in pro wrestling, and so I'm sure it's the same thing in bodybuilding. I go to a show, and after the doctor said, you can go back, what do? I had to go
back
because you can't, that feeling, no one can understand why we do that. I'll tell you,
yeah.
at that point, I wasn't able to work out like I was, and I definitely didn't have the shape I was in when I was 18, 19 years old at that point. But yeah, I'll tell you though,
right.
you know what muscle, I'm sure, you know, and I say, when I talk to people about muscle memory, people don't know what that means, but you do, I'm sure.
Right, right. Oh,
so
yeah,
I might look like I'm this big guy, but I'm a big guy with better cardio than people who are smaller and skinnier than I am because of my
right.
work ethic and everything else, my endurance, which is one of my favorite
right.
things about me, which a lot of people don't know, but... You know, that's when I became Jazz Fitness, the bad guy, years later.
Right.
And,
right.
you know, that, to me, bothered me. But at first, until I realized, for some reason, that's more popular than the other character was. I don't get that, but because he was a bad guy. But that's kind of the reason why that was. But I still could do what I did when I was 19 and 20 and before that. It just didn't look physically at that point. In fact, they made me get bigger for the character, which I hated. Because I was someone who always liked to stay in shape. Do you know what I mean? I'm someone who likes to be in healthy and stuff like that. I want to look it and feel it. So that's one of the things.
Yeah.
And then I lost it all again. I ended up getting healthy again, and the wrestling company folded. So there's no more Jazz Fitness because it didn't make sense anymore. Well, Jazz Fitness can't be, you know, back to 215 again and still be a musclehead. That wouldn't work. Because the idea was I was an unfit. Because the idea of the gimmick is I was an unfit fitness guru. That was what Jazz Fitness was. He was one of those guys who came out and kind of, you know, you fat, lazy people. And he'd go up to skinny people and say, you fat slob, you know. And there I am.
Oh, man,
you know, definitely is not complete off. I was a bad guy. You get it. And oh boy,
That's funny. What is he talking about? Yeah.
And because of my ability to talk, the company I worked for, they gave me a talk show segment called The Fitness Center, which, by the way, originally when I started the podcast, I was going to call it The Fitness Center, but I couldn't do that because if people thought it was a fitness center, they'd think I was going to be a jerk on the show because that's what Jazz Fitness was. So I said, you know what, I'm going to go back to what I am. I'm F4L, so we're going to call it what I called it way back when the F4L started, the F4L headquarters. So that's why it's what it is now. And I am keeping track of the time. I see it's 6:54, and I know you said nine, so I'm kind of keep that in. But I want you to – I know, that's tough for me because usually we just start talking. As you can
I
see,
know, you got the 2 hours.
But, before you go, is there anything you want to plug or anything you want to say? any shout outs or anything like that this year? You know, I'll give you that for, you know, a few minutes there.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I really had a lot of fun. You know, I learned a lot about you and the wrestling world, and this, you know, just the compatibility it is with bodybuilding. So I, you know, this is an awesome interview. Appreciate you very much. Thank you for having me on. Definitely want to give a plug to my wife, my beautiful wife, Kelly. She's definitely the one person that just gives me a lot of happiness and joy, you know, because of our marriage and just being with her. All my kids, much love to them. You know, my sponsor, New Dawn Nutrition, Brandon Stewart. I want to give a plug out to the IMBA, PNBA, which is the federation that I compete in, Denny and Diana Kakos, Ironman Magazine. You know, and I just want to also give the biggest plug, obviously, to Father God in heaven, just for, you know, taking a crazy man like me and, you know, making me into a decent person. After all the things that, you know, I've had to struggle with in life, you know, it's always good to have that person, that godly figure in my life, just knowing that God is there for me, that I can point to when times are hard, you know. And I think we all need that. You know, we're all sinners. We all make mistakes. And it's easy for me to judge and point fingers and make excuses. But, you know, I know Jesus died for me, and there's no excuse for him. He came to save us and save me. And so I got to do the best I can to be, you know, work hard, play hard, do what I got to do, support my family, be a loving person to all people that I meet. And I hope I'm carrying that out so I can, you know, just have that as a legacy when things, you know, just in case, you know. But, yeah, once again, I'm just happy to be on here, bro, and thank you for having me. All the best
no
to worries.
You. You as well. I'm going to have to come back, have you come back again sometime so we can come back and do some checkups next time, huh? Because I can
be great.
I'm not talking about the family thing. I appreciate the family thing. I'm a big family guy. So.
Yeah, I saw that with you and your daughter. Happy birthday once again to her and, you know, your wife. And your son. You know, our kids definitely are the same thing. We talked about Jojo, you know, Jonah, the bodybuilder and stuff, Jojo, and the kind of kid he is. And we want to do that for our kids as well. We just want to set them up for success. Sometimes they go their own path, but, you know, we have to be the ones that be the role models for them, you know, and hopefully the role model for everybody that we come to.
Absolutely. And you're doing great things. I want to acknowledge you again for that.
I appreciate you, man. Thank you very much.
So great job. And keep up with the great work.
I'll have you come back again.
Sounds good.
All right, thank you, my friend. Be safe.
All right, thank
you,
my friend. Be safe, okay?
You too. Thank you. All right. Bye.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Wasn't that awesome? So that was Philip Ricardo Jr., ladies and gentlemen. Wasn't that a great interview? And I'd like to say again, I called it. I told you Joe the bodybuilder was the real deal. You heard from his coach. He's the real deal. I don't make things up. I know the real deals. And our good friend Philip Ricardo just confirmed that I know talent and that I know. I believe in people like JoJo, and I believe, and I'm proud to have Phil Ricardo to be part of the community to help build tomorrow's generation to become and get to where they want to be in life. Tomorrow can't happen without people like us to help get them there. And you know, the other part of our show, my show here, I'm going to be talking, you know, we talked about family at the end. And for me, family is everything to me. And family is very important. And now my daughter, who, you know, much like I warned JoJo, he was going to blush. And my daughter's probably going to blush, too, because her birthday was over the weekend. And, you know, some things in life we are not certain of. We don't know what our future is going to hold. We don't know what we're going to do. We have an idea. We have a game plan. But sometimes in life we don't know fully how everything is going to turn out, how everything is going to go. But the one thing I knew was destined to happen, I was going to be a father at one point, and I was going to be the best damn father I could be. Pardon my language, by the way. As I mentioned to Phil, I didn't have a father growing up. I had my mother, and whatnot. And my mother was both male, was not male and female. My mother was both as tough as a guy, but also was a mother, so she was female. And a lot, ultimately, she was like me, blunt and honest. She had no problem speaking up when she had to. And she liked to have fun, but she was also could be serious. But when I was growing up and I knew I didn't have a father, I didn't have anybody there, I said, whenever I'm in this situation, I'm sure it's going to happen. I am never going to do that. And last last Thursday, I happened to join our good old friend Michael Fishman from The Conners and from Roseanne, actor, producer, director, multiple talented Michael Fishman. And he had talked about how important it is to be a father, how important it is, and how his life, his kids give him life. You heard from Phil Ricardo how important family is to him and why he keeps going. My family is why I keep going. My family is ultimately my greatest inspiration. So now, looking back, the only thing I really regret is I wish my mother lived long enough to really get to see my daughter grow like she is now. My mother, well, honestly, my mother would probably get my daughter in trouble, to be honest with you, because that's how my mother was. But my daughter, like any other kid, she, you know, everyone's, you know, can say anything about whatever, but my daughter is an amazing human being. She's very creative, very caring, very compassionate, very empathetic. She is the epitome of what the F4L is. She embraces it. She's not afraid to speak up when she has to. Not long ago, she had to help me out and give me some tough love, which you, it doesn't matter how old you are. Sometimes you have to hear things, and sometimes our kids have more insight sometimes than we do. My daughter told me not long ago, she said, you know, Dad, you're, you know, doing all kinds of great stuff and we believe in you, you know, and that's why I came back to social media, because I was ready to walk away. I said, I'm not helping anybody. I'm not making any kind of a difference. And my daughter and my son said, no, you do make a difference, and you are helping people, and we believe that you're going to continue doing that. Just get rid of anyone who's extra baggage. So that's kind of what I did. My daughter is a beautiful, talented young lady, and I'm proud of the woman that she's become. You know, she just turned 21, so she's technically an adult. Well, she was already an adult at 18, technically, but as I said before, it doesn't matter how old they get. As long as even after I'm long gone, she's always going to be my daughter. I'm still going to be her father, and that's always going to be the deal. That's always how it's going to be. I did something I haven't done in a long time, and I'm a writer by trade, and I've written many different things. I've written, you know, short stories. I wrote screenplays, obviously. I've written, you know, all kinds of other things, screenplays, TV shows, short stories, obviously, poems, whatnot. But the one thing that I really, you know, I can write pretty much anything, but I can also write lyrics to songs. I can't write the notes, per se. I mean, I can play notes. I can play keyboards, and I can play drums. Actually, anything with keys I can play. Keyboard, organ, piano, anything like that I can play. I can also play drums and a kazoo, which is probably not a real instrument, really, but I can play a kazoo, too. But the kazoo drives my wife crazy. I'm currently not allowed to bust out my keyboard because it disturbs the neighbors, but keyboard sometimes isn't necessarily go over well for everywhere, but anyway, I had written my daughter a song, and I had originally planned on singing it on her birthday. Then I decided what I was going to do instead is to make it more special. I'm going to do something I haven't done yet, and I wrote the lyrics. It's a very nice, I think it's an okay song. I gave her the lyrics, and I'm not going to do it today, but on my next podcast, I'm going to perform that song here on my podcast, and of course, dedicate it to my awesome daughter, who's very creative and always pushed me in my younger days to write more. I spoke about before about being able to write short stories and whatnot. One of the greatest people that I could learn from is telling my kids bedtime stories. And this is a dying art form. I don't think a lot of parents get to do that much anymore. Today we have a society where mom and dad are working, or one of the two, and everyone gets so busy doing their own thing that sometimes the kids don't, you know, you're lucky if you have a hello or good night or something from someone. My wife and I always took time and still take the time for our kids, no matter what. They're older now, as I just mentioned. My daughter just turned 21. My son's going to be 20 in November. As I say that, I cringe because they're getting older. And, you know, my son, you know, the one thing I can say the difference between my son and my daughter, I told them both when they were younger, they weren't allowed to get bigger than me. Well, at least, as always, my daughter listened to me. My son, not so much. My son may or may not be about an inch or two taller than me, but we're not going to let him know that. So don't tell my son that he may or may not be a couple inches taller than me. But my daughter, you know, the apple of my eye, not saying that he isn't, but, you know, my daughter definitely listened on that end. So she definitely stayed smaller, so I appreciate her doing that too. But what I really enjoyed more than anything is the ability to have communication with my kids. And my daughter, the fact that my daughter can talk to me about everything, and most of the time she'll come to me to talk about everything. I have a lot of various experiences in my life. Like, you know, like our guest said today, not everything's sunshine and rainbows. We all have struggles or whatever. I've had friends who've been there and done that. I've had family who've have hard times. I've been through hard times. But it's not about the hard times we have. It's about how we grow from those hard times and what we do with it, what we can learn and apply it for the future to make a better time, right? So, you know, when my kids were younger, I used to tell them bedtime stories. I always make an account to tell each of them their own. And what was funny is they all, because, you know, they're boy and girl and only a year apart. And my wife usually says it a night and day, and it is true. Although both kids are pretty much a night owl, they will pretty much stay up pretty late. And they have very much similar traits. They both like anime. They're both very creative. They both have our awesome sarcasm humor trait. And they're both great kids, which is something good too. And they both live and breathe the F4L way with love, care, and compassion, understand, respect for each other's differences. That's who our kids are, and that's why we're proud of them anyway. But my daughter and I have a relationship where she'll talk to me about everything, and she's open with it. And for one thing, she knows it's kind of impossible to lie to me because that's kind of one of the things everyone knows about me. Eventually, I'm going to find out. And I can remember when, you know, even back when she was having a problem at school, and there was a coach at school, not a kid at school, a coach at school, a high school gym teacher, actually, not a coach. A high school gym teacher was actually bullying my daughter. And at first, because my daughter knows how I am, I admittedly, I am a little bit overprotective. But also, I don't deal with bullies. I was born a bully buster, and I will always be a bully buster. When it comes to my kids, you mess with my kids, oh, it's even worse. And she knew that, so I think what she was trying to do is to, you know, make sure I wouldn't do anything that I would regret later. And by the way, I wouldn't regret it if it came down to that. But my daughter did finally tell me that, you know, the guy said, she almost didn't, but the principal actually called us to tell us that she and her friends had heard him say what he said. The gym teacher told her that, you know, because my daughter had a note from the doctor at the time where she wasn't going to participate in gym that day, that she had some other things. So she was on the sidelines, and apparently her and her friends were, you know, I guess talking or whatever they were doing at gym class. But whatever they were doing, it didn't warrant him telling my daughter he was going to, quote, slap the hair dye out of her hair. We allow our kids to be themselves. Our kids take their own creative tasks. We let them dress the way they want to dress and be themselves. And that's hard for some parents to allow their kids to have that freedom. But we feel it's important. It doesn't mean that we don't correct them if they do something wrong. And it doesn't mean that we won't say, you know, might want to think twice about that.
But when it came to my daughter and her creativity, she loved to dye her hair. She likes to dress up. She likes to, you know, when you, we talked about before about the we go to the convention, the different people that go to a convention. My family, I'm the person who likes to give respect to fellow celebrities and fellow people who are in the business. My wife kind of gets, kind of goes all over the place. My son is the person who gets little trinkets and doodads or whatever. And my daughter is the person who cosplays. My daughter likes to be artistic and express that creativity. We encourage her, if she wants to dye her hair, she dyes her hair. If she doesn't want to dye her hair, she doesn't have to. We trust her and we love her that way. And it doesn't matter what color her hair is. I told her before, you can go bald, I'll still love you. And that's her choice. And we support our kids no matter how they are or what they do. And my daughter is probably one of the strongest people that there is. She's not had, you know, the easiest times either. She's had her struggles with various different things. And we're always there for her. And we still will be there for her. And what... And she's just a strong, powerful woman that she has become. And that has to make, that makes me proud to know that we helped get her there and that she got her there for the rest of the way herself. My daughter works two jobs. My daughter loves coffee. Again, daddy's girl. But my daughter, I can't say enough awesome things about her. I can say things about my son, too. He's an awesome kid, too. And on his birthday, I will. But my daughter just turned 21, and she's just an amazing human being. She's great to talk to. You can have civilized conversations with. You can have intellectual conversations with. You can have funny conversations with. My wife, who does not like South Park, Family Guy, etc., me and my daughter bond over that. My son's not overly fond of all of those either. Once in a while, he'll get into them. But my daughter and I can sit there and quote, you know, those things all day. My daughter likes rock music like I do. My son doesn't like that. And he likes the rock music. He's not into the whole pyrotechnics. My daughter is a little bit more adventurous, I think that. The other thing is my daughter, like myself, is kind of a person who can go into the woods, and she's comfortable in the woods, comfortable being in nature. She likes to be out and about. That's kind of how I am. That's kind of how I like to do things. I like to go for nature. I like to go for hikes. When she was younger, we used to do that all the time. And we're going to the zoo to celebrate her birthday in the aquariums. That's important to do these things with your kids, to get where they do. My daughter was telling a story about going to the zoo and going to see the animals the other day, going to the aquarium for the first time, how I taught her how to play with the penguins for the first time. And just to see the amazing human she's turned into is a very humbling experience, and I'm proud of my daughter for all that she has done. Sometimes, you know, she acts like the typical 21-year-old college student who's into things, you know, but she's a great human being. I'm a little jealous. She has more tattoos than I do. But I told her way back then, I said, you know, before she even got one, I said, you know, tattoos can be addictive. And sure enough, but you know what? That's how she chooses to express herself. And you know what? Who am I going to tell her not to? I have tattoos. I'd be a hypocrite if I told her not to. So we encourage our kids to be themselves, to be their individuality. If my son wants to get a tattoo, he gets a tattoo. If he doesn't want a tattoo, he doesn't have to. We still love him the same. But, you know, both of our kids are awesome, and I can't say enough. Happy birthday to my awesome daughter. I'm proud of Chyna, Summer Payne, the wrestler. And she's got a nice guy, and I like to torture him. I'll be the first to admit it. One of my favorite things to do is to give her boyfriend a hard time. That's kind of the role of the dad, is to scare the boyfriends. I like doing that. It's fun. To be fair, I would do it for my son, too, if he had a girlfriend or a boyfriend or whatever the case may be. Same thing goes for my daughter with whatever she chose. And people have asked me, well, how do you feel about whatever? I said, if that's how my kids choose to be, that's how my kids choose to be. I still love my kids no matter what they do. They're my kids still. They're in their individuality. They're themselves. But we still love them the same because we're still going to be their parents. So there you go. So I'm not going to sing the song right now. Sorry. But tomorrow I will be debuting that song here on this podcast, maybe on YouTube. If you want to hear that song, which is entitled "I Am Not a Hero." Yes, I know. And it's written for my daughter for her birthday. It's the first lyric song outside the, as people know, I wrote my first stage play not long ago. But to be fair, that's more of a rock opera kind of a thing. For those people who don't know stage lingo, a rock opera is a musical that kind of borrows some songs from various pop culture things. That comes out next year, too. I have a busy year next year, but we're really excited. So, you know, but this is the first song I wrote from scratch, and it's dedicated to my daughter, that I'll be doing that tomorrow. So if you want to hear me sing, which is probably not as good as it used to be, but the lyrics themselves, I mean every word, and I look forward to doing that for her officially, because anyone can say it one-on-one, but I'm not ashamed to love my kids. I'm not ashamed to perform for my kids. I'm not ashamed to say how much I love my kids anywhere. And I know some people have problems with how they express themselves or telling their kids they love them. Some guys have issues saying I love you to sons and daughters because it's not manly. Get out of here. I love my kids. I love my wife. They're the reason I do everything I do. And I love all my friends and my F4L worldwide. I love all you guys. I'm not ashamed to admit that because I do. And it's part of the F4L. Love, caring, compassion, understanding, respect for each other's differences. I might not agree with everybody, with everything someone does. I still respect them for their own differences. But I do genuinely care and love and understand everyone. I can listen to anyone about anything. So there's that. I don't know if I'm going to go the full 2 hours, even though I set up for 2 hours. And I did know going in that we only had Philip, our good new friend, for about an hour. So, by the way, kudos to me, by the way, and thank him again for coming on and taking the time to come out and be on the show and come to the F4L headquarters. It was an honor to have someone who is an amazing human, who goes to show you that with hard work and dedication, you can overcome it. Someone who we share the same same responsibilities in life. We like to see people succeed. We still have a passion for our families. We have a passion for life. We have passion. We believe in ourselves. We believe in those we believe in. And I stand by every decision I am. I stand by all the people I believe in. Still, we're going to have Philip come back on sometime. Maybe we're going to add Philip to the roster. Maybe. I should have asked him that, huh? I'm going to ask him after this. I'm going to ask Philip Ricardo if he wants me to make him and add him to the show. That'd be interesting. You know, JoJo was a former tag team champion. I didn't get to tell Philip that JoJo is our current United States champion and has been so since winning. And JoJo's also our very first Grand Slam champion on our show. Grand Slam champion in wrestling is someone who's won every single title that we had to offer. He's been the social media champion, the world champion, the MMA champion somehow, the box office champion, the social media champion is the box office championship, the tag team championship, the BA championship, the rock and roll championship, the F4 Icon championship, pretty much any title we had, single, and also a former F4L Icon tag team champion. So JoJo held every single title we've had on our show. We don't play our games. JoJo's created wrestler that we built. He does that character is all himself. We don't have any kind of connections to it. That's all JoJo. I think I honestly believe our call models who are based on real life dream masters actually take on those people when they go on, put on these shows. They're awesome. And I'm proud of JoJo, much like Philip Ricardo is. JoJo is an amazing human, like a lot of our friends who we have on our show. Jaden Brooks, the Mina Boys, Lucky Ones, Jack and Tim, Father Son Fist Bump, all those guys. We're proud of every one of them. Yesenia Berkovitz. Ivan the Dolphin Shark. I don't even know if they can understand when I say their names because they're Russian. But I still respect them, and I still give them shout-outs because they deserve it. JoJo the Bodybuilder. JoJo the Model Sebastian, our model friend. Another one. Jackson R. Scott, the Prodigy. And these are people who are amazing humans who are out there doing whatever it is that they want to do in achieving their goals. They have the drive, the commitment to do so. So I believe in every one of them. I stand by all of them, and I stand by my decision to keep continuing to push them to get to where they need to be. And our fan base even won't let me cut the show down a couple weeks ago when I didn't think anybody cared or didn't appreciate it. The fans got back. Man, they didn't like that at all. The fans told me, no, we want these people back here, and this is what this one means. And that one, if I read those emails, which I already read some emails from people prior, you guys would be amazed by the fans and what our people mean to them. And again, they're based on real people. So there's that. So that's kind of how it is. And, you know, people like JoJo and Jaden Brooks and the Mina Boys and, you know, Jack and Tim, the ones, Mike from OK Thank You, guys from OK Thank You in general, Mike, Tristan, Robin, the Father-Son Fist Bump, which is Gabe and Austin. You know, we have amazing people. There are amazing people in the world that a lot of people wouldn't even hear about if it wasn't for, you know, whatever, social media or whatever. But there's some very talented people out there in various different things. And I don't care if someone's there to, if someone wants to be, you know, the next bodybuilding champion, someone wants to be the next Hollywood actor, best Academy Award winner, if someone wants to be the best dancer in the world, if someone wants to be the toughest UFC champion in the world. If someone has a passion for something, if someone has the heart for it and puts the work into doing it, I support them all. There are some people out there I haven't even shouted out yet because I want them on this show because they're amazing humans. I've been watching. Trust me. I know people, and I know the real deals. I saw a young man the other day who's probably one of the best shooters I've seen in a long time. And I know a lot about shooting. I was a wrestler myself. I have multiple other things I was. And he might be one of the shooters I've seen in a long time when it comes to wrestling and everything else. So I'm going to see if I can get him on and a couple other people who are absolutely amazing at what they're doing, personalities. In my day, much like Philip said, in our day, we didn't have social media to get ourselves over. We had to go and kind of carve our own path. And then eventually, of course, people would find out who we are and what we're about. And now social media has blown up and everyone knows everything. And when I was competing in the 80s and the 90s in freestyle tournaments, there was no social media. People only knew about me from hearing from other people. That's how you got what they call the reputation for being on the mat. You people knew. If they saw me coming to the mat, they rolled their eyes. They weren't happy about it. But it's cool. You know, I always said it as a challenge. And again, it's because of I'm very hard on myself. And I also push myself. Like, you know, I got that draw when I was 10 years old also. I haven't got over that draw. And it took me, I still haven't got over it actually. That draw happened when I was 10. I still competed in freestyle tournaments until I was 18, just before I started pro wrestling school. Facts on that. And the reason I did that is because I got everything I could out of freestyle wrestling, out of martial arts. So I was going to go into pro wrestling because that was my first goal and my first dream. And then going forward, I was going to do more because I always knew I'm going to achieve. I put that work into me. And what I wanted to, I wanted to make sure we heard what Philip said. He said he believed in himself and he had to prove it to himself. He had a lot of people who wanted to prove those doubters wrong. I get that too. I have a legacy for proving people wrong. I was told I was never going to finish high school because people didn't believe in me. My own blood family told me that. Not very positive people, by the way. But they told me I wasn't even going to graduate high school. I was going to fail like every other loser in the family. I took that as a challenge when I was going to entering the seventh grade. And to this day, I have the record in our family from going from seventh grade to 12th grade. And this is U.S. people for the world audience. So this is from middle school all the way to high school to graduation from seventh grade on either the honor roll or the high honor roll every single semester. This goes to show you, just because I play sports or because I can do all these other things didn't mean I wasn't smart. I still was very intelligent. I still passed a lot of things. I still like to learn. I love animals. I'm passionate about nature. People don't know a lot of that about me because I don't talk a lot about it.
But I do. I have a soft spot for dogs, love animals. I usually try to, you know, spend some more time for the animals that don't get any love. My favorite animal of all time is the bat. I love bats. Not a lot of people do. I love them. One of my favorite pets I've ever had growing up, outside of dogs, is a snake. People hate snakes. I love snakes. In a couple of weeks, I'm going shark diving, to go swimming with sharks outside of a tank. And of course, my wife is petrified. I haven't done this in 10 years. And the reason I haven't done it in 10 years is because 8 years ago, one of my original F4L brothers, and actually one of the founders of the F4L, passed away. So I wasn't able, so I haven't been really shark diving, because the last time I did it was with him. And we've done it probably several times prior. I think we went down, I remember four times particularly before, you know, he passed away, that we went shark diving. Four times, people. By the way, every single four times we went, I've never been attacked by a shark. I've never been bit by a shark. I did exactly like I would with any person. I treated the sharks with respect, entered the ocean with respect. I didn't do anything stupid I wasn't supposed to do. I didn't make myself look like a nuisance. I didn't bother them. I didn't make foolish mistakes that people make. And four times I survived with swimming with sharks. I fed the sharks. But I'll tell you this. I saw someone who was petting a shark. I never got to do that because I'm usually pretty good with animals in general. So in a couple of weeks, I'm going shark diving. I'm going to see if I can pet one of the sharks, like I've seen people pet the sharks. And people say, oh, you're out of your mind. No, I'm not out of my mind. They're animals just like anybody else. Are they unpredictable? Yeah. But so are people. I treat everything the same way. I do everything like I'm supposed to. And you know what? Worst come to worst, I know what I'm going into when I go in there. And again, I've done it before. It's not like I'm a rookie. But in a couple of weeks, I'm going to go shark diving. I can't wait for that. I haven't done it in 10 years, like I said. It's going to be different. I haven't done it because I haven't done it since my friend died. And my friend was the one who I went with. He's the reason I got scuba. I got, you know, certified to dive is because of him. Because, you know, when he was 17, he was old enough to get, you know, certified in diving. That's what he wanted to do. Kind of like when I was old enough to get certified in first aid and CPR, I did that. Which is probably, you know, a lot of people who when they're 15, you know, you don't think they're going to, or 16 actually. I was 16 when I got certified by American Red Cross in CPR first aid, because that's how old you had to be. And that's what I wanted to do for my birthday instead of going down to get my license at that time. Because they said I would much rather know how to save someone's life that I can use for a lifetime versus, you know, getting a license that I can get at any time. At that point, I could do much with it anyway. And because of what I've experienced prior, and I didn't want to be in that situation anymore or ever again, we're not knowing what to do, now I'm prepared. And by the way, since I've been certified, I've probably used several of those techniques several times. I'm happy that I was able to do that. Again, when the marathon thing happened, I was five blocks away. Not even five blocks. I was not far away from where the things went on in Boston. A couple blocks away. It wasn't that bad. See, when I say blocks, a lot of people have no idea what that is. That's basically a couple streets over from where the bomb went off in Boston during the marathon. And when everyone else ran away, I did what my mother would have done, and I ran towards where the bomb came off to make sure everyone was okay. That's how I do things. And that's what I did. And, yeah, I got to use some first aid and CPR real quick, because if I didn't, I don't know. It was just a scene. I don't think about those things. I just do them. When people get bullied, I have no problem stepping up and saying, hey, don't do that stuff. I have no problem holding people accountable for things they do. And I have no problem for doing the right things. And if I'm in a situation where I know that I have to do something, it's not even a question. I don't even think about it. I just do it. My mother did the same thing. My mother was that person. She didn't think about what would happen. She just jumped into action when nobody else would, because she knew no one else was. Granted, I got to say, when that happened, I wasn't the only one who ran towards to help people. And I would do that again if I ever had to again, because it's just the right thing to do. There's two kinds of people in the world. The people who see a burning house and will call the cops and have someone else take care of it. Then there's the one who will
tell someone, call the cops, and go in to make sure everyone's safe out of the house. That's kind of different people between people me and other people. I will jump into the house that's in flames to make sure someone's, if I know someone's in there and needs help, that's me. So that's just kind of how it is. Because it has to be. Someone has to be there to do something. You know, when I told the story last time, how when 9/11 happened, and, you know, prior to that, the company that I was working for at the time, I was, you know, a young kid back then, and I was just, I was working for a adult group home for adults with mental illness, and I was, like, scheduling their social activities, and they had asked me in 2001, the summer of 2001, if I would go and represent the clubhouse at the International Clubhouse Conference, which was going to be all the people from programs similar to ours from all over the world. They wanted me to represent ours from my little town. I said, absolutely going to go. And 9/11 happened, and they asked everyone who was supposed to go. And originally there was more of us, if anybody else still wanted to go, because that was back when everyone else was afraid to fly and everyone else was afraid to do things. And excellent. My mother wasn't happy about that I did that decision either. But regardless, to go in the summer, I said, yes, I am. And when they said, do you still want to go? I said, yeah, I'm going to go. Because I'm not going to let, you know, terrorists or bullies stop me from doing what's right and spreading the word and representing this clubhouse to the world, to the other people of the world. Other people are coming over here. If I don't show up, what kind of a message does that send about us? So, of course, I went to that show. I went to that conference. And that's where I, you know, wrote the song, The Good Old Boy. And I performed it for the first time, a cappella, in front of 500 people, which is a new story, 500 people who are worldwide, people from all over the world, people from Australia, Canada, Russia, all over Europe, England, Mexico, all over the United States, 500 people from all over the world in one room. And a person who a colleague of mine who I've known for a long time, who I've known since I was younger, he stood up and everyone else stood up right after I was done singing the song. And it was an amazing feeling to get a standing ovation for something I wrote. That was a month after 9/11. That was when that was, because the conference was in October of 2001. So a month later, I was sitting there in Chattanooga, Tennessee, where it was. Nice town, very quiet. But Chattanooga, Tennessee is where we had to fly to and come back and forth to. I would do it again because I was representing what I believe in. No one's going to stop me from what's right. You got to live by the influence, people. And don't be afraid to do what's right. So there's that. So. You know, we got 27 minutes left on this podcast. I did some shout-outs. I said praises to my daughter. We had our friend Philip Richard Ricardo Jr. on. We give praise to people. We probably made JoJo the bodybuilder, blush. We made my daughter blush probably. And I told you guys tomorrow I'm going to make her really blush. And I'm going to be singing that song I wrote tomorrow. The other thing I wanted to say is, you know, so something I have to acknowledge is that sometimes we all have struggles in life and we don't have all sunshine and rainbows. It doesn't matter where you come from or where you're from, what your position is are or what you're doing in life. Hard times can happen. But I think what's important is, one, to realize it's okay. It's okay to have struggles. It's okay to acknowledge the fact that you're a human. I know myself, I still think I'm, you know, 20 years old and I'm still invincible. And I'm about to get back into MMA. I'm about to have a fight at the end of this year. I'm going to be in an MMA fight. And then next year, I got all kinds of crazy things I got to do. I'm going back to pro wrestling. And I'm 42 years old, as my son likes to remind me. And I forget sometimes how old I am. I definitely don't act it all the time. I'm 42 years old. And a lot of people in this, well, you're 42.
And what drives me nuts is when they say, well, you're only 42. What do you know? And then, you know, if I was to sit there and tell the person who's 50, 60, 70 years old who says that to me, everything I've seen and done and blah, 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 that's when those people, after I get done telling them everything I've seen and done and everything else, that they say, well, you know what? Pray to you. Because it's not about how old you are or what you do, how old someone is. It's about what you do within that lifespan that makes, that'll define you. So when you have struggles and you have hard times, it's okay to have hard times. I have to remind myself I'm human. Why do I feel leg pain? It's raining out. That's why. Whenever it's raining out, I know when it's going to rain because my body hurts from head to toe, I'm sure. I didn't get to ask Philip about injuries or anything, but I bet he understands that as well. I'm sure if he's ever had an injury, he gets that. And I'm sure it happens in bodybuilding, just like any other sport. People get injured. In fighting sports, people get injured. My body hurts half the time whenever it's going to rain out because that's what it does. But guess what? I don't let that stop me from going out and doing what I got to do. I might be in absolute pain. I still go for a walk every single day. I go for a walk. It helps me clear my mind. It helps me stay healthy. I just started recently playing basketball again. Granted, no one is around to play with because people, not everyone else is as energetic as I am, as I found out. Of course, next year might be a different story, as you know, we're going to have some, hopefully some news about Jazz and Friends Expo, hopefully on our next show. And some of you are like, what the heck is Jazz and Friends Expo? Well, tune in. Hopefully in a couple of days, hopefully soon I'll be talking to you guys about Jazz and Friends Expo. I'm just waiting on a few things. And I'll tell you about the return of Jazz and Friends Expo. Oh, I should say the anticipated debut of the Jazz and Friends Expo was supposed to happen in 2020. But trust and believe it'll happen next year as it's supposed to. Because I get it done, and I don't wait for things to happen. I just do it. We all have struggles, like I said. We all have hard times. I'm human. I have hard times. I struggle. But what's important is when you wake up and your alarm clock goes off and you have that feeling, do I get up or do I stay in bed? I always get up and go to the shower. That's how I start my day. I just get going. Because the more you prolong it, the longer it takes you to get yourself where you need to be. The more you think about it, the less likely you're going to be able to do it. Someone asked me how long – people have asked me all the time. Excuse me as I drink some more water. People ask me, how far do you walk for? How do you walk for such long distances? My wife and kids will tell you that to me, down the street is down the street. To everyone else, down the street for me is about 2 miles away, because my wife and my kids absolutely say that my perception of how far something is off, because I don't think about it. I just go. If I need to get someplace, I just go. And that's how that works. One of the powerful things are, once you learn how to walk, you can walk. I'm all about being on time, so I need to walk someplace and be at a certain time. I know when to leave, and I get there. What is a fun thing, but it's also a good workout, something I still do. Helps with my breathing, helps me stay with my endurance, also helps me to, even if I'm getting tired, it helps me, is to sing while I'm walking. I've said that before, which sounds ridiculous to sing while you're walking around, and I'm sure the people around me are like, what the heck is he singing for? Actually, fun story. I've had people tell me that I shouldn't sing certain songs because of what I'm wearing, or I was wearing a horror hoodie sweatshirt that Stephen King gave me once. Actually, I still wear that sweatshirt, actually. Stephen King gave me a horror sweatshirt once, and I still wear it once in a while. And I was wearing it out, and I was singing it, you know, a bunch of random songs. That's what I do when I walk around to stay healthy. And Disney stuff started coming on, and I was told I wasn't allowed to sing Disney music when I was wearing a horror sweatshirt. To that, I think I sang Zippity Doo-Dah, and then I sang Whole New World, and then I sang Part of My World, and then I sang Let It Go again.
because no one's going to tell me what I gain, who I'm going to be because of what I'm wearing. And no one's going to tell me when I can and cannot. It's a different story if you're like, you know, after hours, late at night, whatever. If I'm walking around during the day and I'm singing, you know, or doing whatever I'm doing, you're going to tell me what I'm going to do. If I'm in a library or in a setting where I have to be quiet, I'll be quiet. But if I'm going someplace, I'm doing something, and I feel the urge to sing, to do something, I'm going to do it. No one's going to tell me otherwise. Who are they? And that's something to keep in mind, too. When someone tells you or other people look at you like, why do you do that? And we have that in our friendships and our relationships. The people who we surround ourselves are very important to how well we succeed. If you have a strong foundation of friends, people who support you and truly support you, and I tell this to people all the time, you can have the people who tune in once or twice, people who, you know, only – actually, the biggest example is social media, honestly. I tell people – actually, with JoJo, JoJo is a great example, actually, JoJo the bodybuilder, and because he just had this and recently – he's like, should I post more or less or whatever? And I had said, well, post whatever you want. Post when you want. People who really want to see you succeed will follow and support you no matter what, how often you post. For me, you know, it's always about what I post, not how much I post. I can go several days without posting something. But if I'm posting something, like today I had Philip coming on the show, so of course I'm going to post that. I'm proud to have someone come to the FRL headquarters and talk to a new friend and welcome someone there. And I'm proud of the people who I talk about on a regular basis. If I have something to say like that, absolutely. But I don't post things just to post things. And because I don't need to. And people who want to see it, they see it. If they don't, they don't. And people today are so interested in, oh, I mean, I have to get so many likes and I have to get so many people to follow. Listen, here's the deal. What you want is people who follow and want to see you succeed, not people who just want to look at your pictures. Because this creeps out there on social media. Again, a message to all the parents out there and to the kids who have these, who are trying to, you know, get to where they need to be in life. There are a lot of very talented, very gifted, very tough kids out there in the world, no matter what they're doing in whatever genre of their goals or whatever. But there's a lot of weirdos out there. It's really important to stay vigilant and to stay on top of these things. Have a conversation with, even if you think, well, my kid's old enough to handle it himself, that's cool. Just check in with them once in a while. Is everything cool? Anyone giving you a hard time? Myself, I am overly protective. And when it came to my kids on social media, people didn't even know I had kids until they were old enough. In fact, fun story and true story, even though I, you know, my son and I started the show together on YouTube, but because I want to protect his identity and because I don't want every other weirdo in the world out there, his name I changed to get, technically his name is actually one of the characters from one of his bedtime story series that he used to have me tell him. That's where his name came from. But that's kind of where that comes from. And that's why I don't, you know, talk about my kids in their, you know, real names, except for on this show once in a while. But even so, I like to keep my kids protected. Even though they're 20 and 21, they can make their own decisions. I'm not afraid to show their pictures. I'm proud of my kids. They're beautiful kids. They're great looking. They're great people. I like having fun with them. I like to show off that we're having fun together. I like having, you know, all that stuff. But it's important for parents to keep in track with their kids with this social media stuff because, let me tell you, there's a lot of creeps out there. I've had to put creeps in their place for people because I've seen things during these Q&As they do or comments they make. I'm like, are you for real? So just another message to parents out there, be vigilant to your kids' social media accounts. Talk, if you don't want to look at all of it, you want to give them their freedom, I get that. Check in with your kids. Hey, is anyone being a creep? Anyone making you uncomfortable? Do those conversations. I highly recommend that. When I talk to people, no matter how old they are, I always keep it professional, respectful, the FRL way, always. I do treat everyone the same, and I talk to everyone the same.
I treat them with the same respect I treat everyone else. If someone asks me a question, I'll answer the question. I always say, if you want to ask me, just make sure you want to hear the answer. Because if it's something you're not going to want to hear, then it's something you're not going to want to hear. If it's going to hurt your feelings, then you probably don't want to hear my opinion. But people know that about me, and that's something that I think people respect about me, is my honesty, my brutal honesty at times. But that's one of the reasons, another reason why the people I just mentioned are people who actually, you know, welcome that feedback that I give them. JoJo, for example, and the other JoJo, JoJo Sebastian and JoJo the bodybuilder, two different walks of entertainment, right? JoJo wants to be a bodybuilder, and he'll get there. JoJo the Sebastian wants to be the top model and an actor, whatever else. He'll get where he needs to be. They both have the same drive. Both have the same compassion for what they want to do. Different genres and different visions, but they still have the work ethic in both. They also both respect and also appreciate feedback that I give. And they take those things and they apply them. And, you know, that's something that goes far. We're not all, you know, whatever. And sometimes it's good to get that feedback sometimes. And sometimes when we're messing up, it's good to hear that too. The people I mentioned, I don't usually say anything that they messed up unless, you know, they say something or they do something that is. But that doesn't happen often. We're all human. People make mistakes. But, you know, I can't be prouder of everybody I support on this show. And I hope, you know, people like JoJo, actually JoJo hasn't come back in this show in a long time. Either one. I'll have to fix that too. Anyway, JoJo, either one of you guys, either Joe, you know, I'll tell you another one that prior to social media, I hadn't heard the name JoJo in many, many years. So kudos to both you guys for bringing a classic back. So kudos to you guys. But no, but in all seriousness, what I was saying, which kind of, you know, spun off into other directions, is it's important to surround ourselves with the positive people and to get the feedback from people who actually want to see us succeed versus wasting your time trying to pander to people who are just there for wanting to see pictures and want to be creeps and everything else. Those, yeah, you might get a high number of people want to see, but that's not really what you want as a support. That's not who you want to support you. You don't want that kind of attention. At least I wouldn't want that attention. So everyone keep doing what you're doing. Just be safe about doing it and don't do things because you think that you should because you want to, you know, make your fans happy. Your true fans, true supporters will be there for you no matter what. When I was a good guy wrestler, my fans were there for me. When I was a bad guy wrestler, they hated me in the ring. When I got out of the ring, they loved me. But that's how that worked. Because I had that commitment to my fans. But, you know, again, you also need to have your boundaries. That's something I spoke about before. When you do meet and greets, when you talk to your fans, there's got to be a boundary you got to set up, right? And same thing goes on social media. You want to get feedback, you want supporters, just make sure those boundaries are set up by you or your parents or have something in place so that you don't get the wrong kind of attention or the wrong people following or and whatnot. Trust me on this. This is something that I know a lot about because I see it a lot. It bothers me tremendously. And it's another reason why I was ready to walk away because I was tired of seeing it. So there's that. So when I talk to people, it's about respect. It's about trying to help them succeed in what they're going to do, bringing them on the show, giving them that platform. And there are a lot of people I haven't even talked about yet on the show because, again, I want to bring them on the show to talk about them. And then I can also tell you there's plenty of people who we're waiting to bring back on the show. People like Jaden Brooks, people like JoJo the Bodybuilder are going to get back on here. JoJo Sebastian's going to come back eventually. The Minna Boys are coming back here. This is like the good old F-World headquarter hangout. That's what it's supposed to be anyway. And this is a place for people to be themselves and celebrate themselves and their you know, success. And we celebrate with them because we're proud of all of them. Walker Campbell, the musician, he's coming back on the show eventually. We've been talking about that a lot. And he's coming on the show. We're going to rock out on the show. It's going to be great. And, of course, you know, other people, Jackson R. Scott, he's still working on him coming on the show. He'll be here eventually. You know, and then when they get here, it's going to be a great time, no matter what it is, because we succeed together when we all succeed individually. That makes any sense. And I'm proud of everyone who's been on this show, everyone who's ever thought about being on this show, and everyone who I want on the show. So still waiting on to bring a few more people in, and I reached out to some people waiting to hear back, hopefully soon. And hopefully get connected to some other people. The father-son fist bump, we're trying to get back on here. You know, we were supposed to have a show a long time ago, and all honestly, I know they, you know, once they have been doing shows again. By the way, go follow the father-son fist bump podcast. They're doing great work again. Well, you know, just like they did prior, you know, things come up. I get it. I'm still here, and I support them still. I know they get busy or whatever else, but we still have nothing. I still have nothing but respect for them and stuff like that. Same thing goes for the guys from OK Thank You. I hope they're doing well. I haven't seen much on their thing. Minty, our friend from Australia, he's a great guy. He's also he's doing all kinds of great stuff. And again, eventually we're going to have my friend Dave Hagen, who runs the Monster Mania convention, to come on the show. And again, in a couple of weeks, I'm going to be at Monster Mania again because I'm working on the staff. And I'm proud of that as well. And the other thing, you know, my friend Joe Bruin, who runs the New England Fan Fest, the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame, he's going to come on this podcast again. And JoJo, congratulations, JoJo. And to Joe Bruin, my friend, and the promoter of All Access and New England Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame and the New England Fan Fest, I want to say congratulations to him. His family, after a long time, I call them the Bruin Brood, which I think everybody does. They finally got their own house, so congratulations to him on his house. That's a huge deal, and that's a big congratulations to him. That's a huge accomplishment. And with, you know, 20 kids, it's probably – I'm just kidding. It's not 20, but with all them people, it's great to see that, you know, good people, good things happen for, and things continue to happen for. And I'm all supporting that. Just remember – as good as things get, there's always those hard times. As long as you remember the good times, you know whatever that struggle is going to be temporary. You know how to fix something. If you don't be afraid to ask someone for help. If you have a question about something, ask someone. If you feel some kind of way, you know, talk to somebody. Everyone should have someone to talk to. And by all means, if you listen to this podcast, if you have struggles, hit me up on social media at wowdrew.com. @gmail.com. That's my email address. @gmail.com. That's my email address. You can hit me on my Instagram, which is FRICON, FEANJAZZSTEVENS 1. That's on Instagram. And I don't even know why I bother plugging Twitter. I'm never on Twitter. And I'm not on Facebook, by the way, either. So don't waste your time there. Although I got to say, I almost went back to Facebook for a little while because I come to find out when I left Facebook, I had all kinds of supposed friends and everybody else and supporters or whatever and friendships that I had. That's one of the reasons I have I check in once in a while is because I still use Messenger because I have more connections over there on Messenger than I have everywhere else. When I checked to see how many friends I still had, I hadn't been on Facebook in 5-6 years. All legitimately, hadn't have time for it. But, and remember, Talking Tuesday started on Facebook and on Instagram. Not Instagram, started on Facebook and MySpace. Talking Tuesday started because I set aside time every single Tuesday from 6 to 9 p.m. or so where I would answer questions from people or I would talk to people who I normally wouldn't talk to on Facebook. Because there was always people I'd get questions from or people would always send me messages because I was busy wrestling or filmmaking or whatever I was doing. I would set aside time on Tuesday to talk to those people who I normally wouldn't talk to on a regular basis because I get so busy or whatever. But I wanted to show people that if I'm following you or if you're, I'm friend of back then, it's just following you, friends of yours, right? If I add you as a friend or I accept your friend request, it's because I genuinely consider you a friend or I want to get to be a friend. That's why I did talk to Tuesday, get to know these people to let them know that they're just as important as anybody I've known 20, 30 years. That's the reality of Talking Tuesday, which is why Talking Tuesday leaked into the F4L headquarters. It started by the leader of the F4L, yours truly, and that was acknowledged by one Mark Zuckerberg, who is the one who credited me for coining the phrase Talking Tuesday. And that's mine. But it started there. And I used to have people who didn't get that who would just roll their eyes. Oh, I'm not participating in Talking Tuesday. You don't have to. There's plenty of people who did. And once in a while, I do this on this podcast. I had, we had a new friend of ours on the show today, Philip Ricardo. I want to say thank you to him again for taking time out of his busy schedule. This guy's going to be working out and staying healthy. He's driving around. He's taking care of his family. He's a hardworking guy, folks. This is someone who is a respectful guy. Does it drug-free, which I respect, because I don't do any of that stuff. I don't have time for it, nor do I need it. So kudos to him. I hope he continues doing that. And I hope he does get back to the F4L headquarters. I hope he knows he's always welcome. Everyone else is. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and children all of ages, I want to say to you guys one more time, thank you to our guest today, Philip Ricardo Jr., the bodybuilding, spiritual fitness trainer, author extraordinaire, and fellow dream master, and also a supporter of the future of all of those. Shout out to JoJo the bodybuilder, my daughter for being 21. She knows who she is. And shout out to everyone else who I mentioned earlier and everybody else in general. I'm proud of you guys. I love you guys. Keep up the great work. And I want to see you guys all succeed. Everyone from no matter what it is you're getting involved in, whether it be acting, sports, combat, bodybuilding, wrestling, whatever it is you're going to go after, the only person who's going to make it happen is yourself, ladies and gentlemen. So with that being said, for now, I am your host with the most, the leader of the F4L, the F4L icon, Sean Jazz Stevens, saying, may all your dreams come true, everyone. Peace.